Oh yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know what we'll use this stuff for.
Well, let's just roll right into it. Let's do it. Okay, so. Hello and welcome to the Golf Practice Podcast, the Jansen Project, episode 2. My name is Andy Hayes, and with me, as always, is Ty Libby.
Hey, Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. This is the best day of the year, or actually the second best day of the year. Yesterday was the best day of the year, or maybe of the last 10 years, because Tiger Woods finally is back in the winner's circle.
Tiger Woods!
Yep, and we'll talk more about that in a minute, but we also have to introduce the most important member of this podcast series. It's Jansen Misurek.
Howdy.
Make sure to remind everyone you're from Texas every single episode, so you're doing
Texas.
Great. Yeah. Jansen, did you watch yesterday?
I sure did. It was very exciting to watch. I was a big skeptic of Tiger coming back. I never thought that he would. I thought he'd win another tour event, but never another major, so I guess I'm still maybe correct.
You're still validated.
I never thought he'd come back and do it again. And it was very, very cool to see that no matter where you're at in your life or in your game, that if you put the time in and the work in, that you can really accomplish whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it's inspiring.
Pretty inspiring.
Yeah, we're recording this the Monday after Tiger won the Tour Championship at East Lake, and we're all pretty excited here.
Fired up.
Ty, did you?
Yeah, it was great. I was in a car on the ride home from a wedding and able to listen to PGA radio on XM, and even that was thrilling. So not only did he win, but in such dominant fashion.
Yeah. Oh. And to see that crowd coming down 18, oh, yeah. You really haven't ever seen a crowd like that since like when Jack and Arnie were winning, yeah. and they don't allow crowds to really do that anymore.
I don't know. So they must have just jumped the fence. Right? Everyone must have just rushed the fairway.
I don't know how that happened,
down.
But it was pretty epic.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It was really epic. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the ratings were up something like 200%, which was impressive over last year's tour championship.
Yeah, I mean, golf is just not the same when Tiger Woods isn't doing well or isn't doing as good. And I know people have tried for the past couple of years to be like, Jordan Spieth, Fowler, the game's in a great state. And maybe it is because there's so many talented players, but it's not the same at all.
Yeah, you know, the young guns are really fun to watch, but
not really
when the goat is rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
And to see him be emotional on the green was great and show some emotion and be relatable, which he hasn't always been in the past.
Yes. Yeah, it was incredible. I've never been happier watching a sporting event in my life than that.
Yeah, you just knew you were witnessing history.
Yeah, because it's like he was so far down, his life completely fell apart.
Yeah.
And let's be fair, a lot of that was his own doing, but
absolutely.
Still, it's an incredible comeback story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't wait for the 30 for 30 to come out.
Absolutely. Let's see what happens at the Ryder Cup this week.
Yes.
Oh, so this will come out after the Ryder Cup, but I don't even care about the Ryder Cup anymore. This doesn't matter.
I'm excited for the Ryder Cup. That's one of my favorite events to watch.
It won't be half as exciting as Tiger Woods winning easily, but that's all right. Yeah, who would have thought? You never thought the Ryder Cup would be overshadowed by something, but I think it kind of will be. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get into it. Jansen Project.
Jansen is giving us both lessons. Andy's a much better golfer than me about scratch, and I'm about a 15 handicap. So give folks an idea of how the golf practice, in particular Jansen specifically, approaches lessons for people at different ends of the spectrum, wherever they are on their journey.
Yeah, great. Absolutely. Last week with me, Jansen was working on getting everything synced up in my swing, getting my hands in front of my body, and it made a big difference. Played and practiced a couple of times this week. Swing felt better. I felt much more in control of what I was doing, maybe because, you know, in my head, I knew what I was trying to do, which made a difference, as opposed to in the past, it was a lot of just guessing on, you know, where your arms are supposed to be, or, you know, you'd hit a bad shot and you'd say, oh, well, that was bad because I was out of balance or because I swung too fast, without really knowing. So you just try the next swing slower, and sometimes it helps, but this one, I had like a specific thing I was trying to do with each swing rather than just reacting to the last swing, which made a big difference.
Well, I think that's a great point that you bring up. And I know we talked about it at the beginning of your lesson when I asked, you know, how is it coming from what we worked on last week? And when you said that you had more focus on your swing itself, exactly right, that you're not just, right, you have your swing, but you're not just swinging and then basically feeling it out from there, mm-hmm. trying to really just kind of guess for the next swing. So now that you have something a little more concrete to focus on, and what you're focusing on alone is going to give you more consistency as well with your club face stability, that you should be in a pretty good spot. It's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. How about you, Ty? How did your week go?
It went well. So I was out of town for Thursday through Sunday for a wedding and didn't get to play, but I did practice, swing the club, hit some balls, and felt awkward at first. I think my tips were a little bit more simple and basic, but it was the same kind of principle as yours, whereas if I'm out in the course and I hit a bad shot, I'm trying to guess what I did, and it's just so much nicer to have a PGA professional behind you who can point it out instantaneously. Even if it's in some embarrassing swing video, but the first lesson was more of reducing my spine angle, declining my spine angle over the ball, bowing a little bit more, keeping my hands looser and lower, and this time I had a little bit more of what you were talking about with Jansen as far as getting my body out in front of my hands, whereas I was trying to use my hands too much and it was leading to a lot of guessing and inconsistency at the point of impact.
Right. Yeah, Ty was really trying to square up the club with his hands, and we saw in the video, I took a face-on video, and you could tell it down the line as well, but in the video from face-on, or caddy view, whatever you want to call it, we could see that his hands were outracing his body. His body would stop rotating, his hands would continue to go, and then his body would start back up. So what I wanted to do was really just try and get everything going together and wake up his hips and his lower body and give him a few barriers and things to measure how those things can fire. And so it was really cool to see. I think warming up the way we did today and had Ty go through some exercises, some like legit exercises without a golf club, but with some resistance bands and pads to really just wake his body up. And then that seemed to be really, really effective. It only took about 5 minutes rather than hitting balls for 15 minutes just trying to get warm. Oh. So that was pretty cool to see.
So that's kind of what you focused on this lesson, is waking your body up.
Yeah, I got some, it takes me a little while to warm up sometimes. And so, I hadn't swung a club yet today when I first met with Jansen. So he got me on the resistance bands, but then also put in the noodle next to my hip. So I actually felt something physical bumping that hip as opposed mm-hmm. to thinking about it through the air, but actually feeling something there. Even if it's a couple inches, it really helps you understand what you should be doing.
Correct. Just having something there. And for you too, Andy, having something physical there in front of you saying, okay, I need to hit this, or I need to go put the club through this gate, or I need to feel that I'm square to whatever, you know, whatever it is, can be really helpful. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm going from the first lesson to the second lesson, Jansen. I'm most curious in how you, I don't know, I'm always curious in how you go about deciding what to fix or what to work on. Do you know what I mean? Like, did you have, with each of us, were there, like, would a different coach maybe work on something else? Or would they all work on the same thing, and why? Maybe that's a tough question. You know what I mean?
That's a really tough question. That's a great question. I think with Ty, I knew exactly what I wanted to do in lesson two today. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I actually went a little bit a different route than what I thought I would do originally, but it got us to the same result, so that was cool. But with you, Andy, I really, when I was taking videos, it took me a while to kind of figure out exactly what I wanted to do with you today. But as I was taking those videos, because it looks so good, you know, sometimes you see somebody hitting the ball really well and you're like, well, you know, what am I going to change? Why should I change anything? He's hitting the ball great right now, but you have to really dig deep. And so I had to really focus. And what I found was, okay, he's not hinging fast enough. He's kind of gone back to his old habit. The club is delayed in having leverage. And so that was ultimately making it harder for you to do what you were trying to do last week. So by allowing you to hinge and get that proportion of your wrist motions in the backswing, just allowed you to be able to have a better tempo throughout the whole swing. and then ultimately continue to work on that club face stability on the way through. But yeah, you know, trying to answer your question more, figuring that out is we have to think really far in advance. Okay, so what am I going to change and why? And how is that going to affect? And I think I talked about that last episode, because you don't want to just change something and then have to go backwards the next lesson because you did something wrong. Yeah. So thinking about your swing, Andy, we went on a pretty advanced topic last week with club face stability and working that motion through the swing and through a part of the swing that's fast, but you really caught on to it and we did some great bears. And then this week was a little bit more of the positioning in the backswing, ultimately to help you get more consistent with what we worked on last week. So it's just building on from last week, yeah. But it was on the whole other side of the swing, which is a little bit different. But I knew we need to do some work in the backswing so that both of those can match up well. I'm just trying to kind of like balance them out.
Got it. Cool.
Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. It's just, I'm always interested, you know, you see swings, I can see a bad swing and it seems like there's six things you could change, and how I don't know myself how you decide which one of those things to work at.
Yeah, for your swing, Andy, it looked so great up in the top position, and then on the way down, everything looked great. But it was getting to the top that caught my eye today.
Okay.
It was inside, and there was not a lot of... There was no leverage. There was no lever motion with your hands, or hinge, what I like to call. So that's what originally I think caught my eye. And then I said, okay, well, if I'm going to change that, how is that going to affect everything else, right? Obviously, this caught my eye, and I don't like it, but why would I fix it? And so I had to play that out in my head before I said anything.
Got it.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then with Ty, I knew that I just wanted to get some more fluidity in his swing, because he just looks so stiff. So from what we worked on last week with relaxing at address and getting his hands shallow and everything, that was the first step. And then this week, okay, we can work on the motion of his body to allow him to do that. So that was pretty easy.
So it was first with Ty, it was first step is just basic setup.
Correct.
Things. And then second is more sequencing.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there were a third lesson, would that be... Or I guess maybe you can't even answer that until he's worked at it, right?
I would probably have to go back and just study it a little bit more. But I think what we'll probably work on is just getting more advanced on that same topic of, okay, we really focused on what the body is doing last week, but now let's focus on the hands a little bit more with that body. So now you can start to shape shots and little things like that and just get more advanced with it. I think that's... But I can't quite answer that.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. That's fine. I would just go on with something.
But just from the basic first week lesson of, you know, addressing the ball with hands lower, just changed my club path much more to zero than it had been previously.
Maybe you can't answer this question either. Just generally, are there like levels of things that you look for as far as, like with me, you didn't change anything in my setup and you went directly to sequencing. Mm-hmm. And then this time you changed positioning of...
Yeah.
A certain thing, or the way I was actually bringing the club back. Is there like, well, you have to get this first and then you can work on this, then you can work on this?
I think I really tried to be like that for a long time, and I wanted to know what are the steps, what's the ladder, what's the order that to build a perfect golf swing. And I really thought about that as well when I was writing curriculum for the classes. And over the winter, I was kind of the putting coach and the head of putting, and I really was trying to get extremely structured with this is what you do, boom, boom, boom. But what I really realized is you can be as structured as you want when it comes to being a coach or a teacher, but you really don't know what's going to happen that day. You don't know what that student's going to bring to the table, so you always have to have room for adjustment and be able to adjust on the fly, and so you have to be able to think on your feet pretty quickly. So with that being said, no, there's not really anything in particular that catches my eye. Boom, boom, boom. Like, you have to do this before you can do the next thing. But, you know, it's a dichotomy, really.
Sure. Yeah.
It's just, it's a delicate balance. Okay, boom, if you do this, yes, we can move on to the next thing. But we might be able to ignore it all completely and go a different approach to be able to knock out two birds with one stone. So it's just being able to process that as fast as possible so you don't waste time in the lesson, and then you can start working. And that just takes practice and time and studying and research. Sure. And it's kind of hard to talk about.
Learn by doing.
Yeah, really, mm-hmm. for sure.
I mean, I'm amazed with how quickly you're able to put that together, and you have a station going and you have all these things within like 2 minutes mm-hmm. to say, do this. And do you feel that pressure of, well, man, if I take 20 minutes trying to figure this out, I'm wasting this person's money and time.
Yeah, you're wasting the student's time. They want to get results as fast as possible. And so do I as a coach. And so one great quote that I heard from Claude Harmon at a teaching summit that I went to, and his dad always used to say, Coach Harmon, was find it faster, find the problem faster. It should only take 5 swings. And so that's what I try to do. And obviously I'm not quite on their level. Maybe it takes me 10 or 20 swings to see it, but try and find it fast, because you want to get to the end solution as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm. Ty, were you surprised with anything you worked on or with the direction that the lesson went?
Well, I didn't expect to be working with resistance bands, but now I'm glad I have. And so I'll definitely work on those exercises at home. And he actually explaining muscle structure of the body to me, and the abductors, and what were they? The lats.
Yeah, so we engage Ty's AOS system, his anterior oblique sling or system. So his adductors, which is the muscle on the inside of your leg, and that's what brings your legs together, mm-hmm. and then his obliques. And that's how I was explaining to him also the POS system, which is your posterior oblique sling. And that's how it's how you walk. Those two systems are how you walk. It's your cross crawl patterns. So I was explaining to him, right, if you see somebody that walks with their hands in their pockets or can't throw or isn't a very good runner, their AOS and POS systems aren't working properly. And so just understanding what those systems are and then getting them fired up with certain exercises and stretches like we did with the bands today just brings overall muscle awareness and body awareness up. And so that's why we did that, so that we could then use that knowledge and that body awareness for his golf swing.
Yeah. And once you point it out, you know, it's very noticeable and noticeable in a swing, especially when you're going slow. And it's just really cool to fit. Oh, okay. I see how these muscles are working together and balancing. This is what it needs to feel like.
Right.
As opposed to taking a full-on swing as hard as I can every single shot. You know, it's like, let's slow down and think about how my body's working mm-hmm. to get the club into the right place at impact.
Yeah, in my lesson, he had me slowing down a lot. That's the same with you. When you were actually swinging the club, are you good at that? Or
no, it was difficult. Well, what was it? Better with the right hand. The left hand was a little bit more
You're
difficult.
Doing one-handed?
Yeah.
One-handed slow-motion swings?
One-hand stuff.
Wow.
Which I've actually been doing a lot with my students the last couple of weeks, is have them swing with each hand individually and being able to find that timing to be able to brush the grass through some gates or brush mm-hmm. the turf. And it really, when you only have one hand on the club, you really got to pay attention to what you're doing, because it's twice as hard, if not harder. And so I did that with Ty so that he could really focus on his body and take the hands out of it.
Gotcha.
And that's how what I've always struggled with and had problems with is being too handsy and flipping and mm-hmm. casting and all this stuff. And I know it needs to be fixed, but I'm completely shooting in the dark about how to fix it. And it makes sense when he's like, use the big muscles, don't use the small muscles.
Yeah. Right. So where did you look before? Was that like YouTube?
In my hands. I was trying to do stuff differently YouTube. With my hands and arms. Yeah, YouTube. And I'm sure some of the stuff I saw on there, I just wasn't implementing correctly. But honestly, being able to feel those muscles, how they work together, physically being able to hit a noodle with my left hip and know something's there, the physicality of doing it helped me rather than watching a video.
Yeah,
that's something that's always fascinated me, and it's just the body and how it works. It's an amazing thing, and something I'm passionate. You guys know that I'm a gym freak, and so that's something that I'm always trying to study as well, as the body, and something that I'm kind of pursuing in my career to help my teaching, because mm-hmm. obviously I have the eyes as of a coach to see very detailed things and see things in motion, but then also if I can understand how the body's moving and how it works and what some people's restrictions might be, well, that's still going to help me with what I see with my eyes too. So
Yeah, I found more and more that the power comes from just your whole body working together rather than, I bet if you ask people, they would say it's your arms, right? And how fast you swing, but it's not really.
No.
And then, you know, the golf practice, Pete does it a lot. Chris does it as well. And then you with boxing, but comparing golf and the golf swing to other sports, you know, Pete with tennis and hockey and you with boxing, which I thought was interesting.
You were boxing today too?
I wish. No, actually, I don't wish. He'd probably hit me in the face. But he's a boxer.
Got it.
Yeah, that's one thing I do to work out. And it's been amazing learning how to box in a martial art of how you create power in a punch. And it's extremely similar to the golf swing. It's been awesome to study both of those things, but also just study other sports, right? With Pete and hockey and throwing, I have, you know, analogies of like, how does somebody throw? And so, you know, if you're going to throw a ball, are you going to extend your arm straight up above your head? No, because then the ball's just going to go straight up in the air. You have to create a motion and a whip and a flow. And it's the same thing in the golf swing. It's just, can we explain those things? Something that everybody knows how to do. Everybody can throw a ball to some extent. And so how can we relate that to the golf swing? Or if somebody did come to me and they've been boxing for years, how can I relate that to the golf swing? Or if somebody comes to Pete and is a field hockey player, well, that's Pete's the perfect coach for him because Pete loves hockey sticks. Yeah. Right? Absolutely. And so it's really cool to be able to have all those analogies and tools.
Yeah, wait, so how do you add power to a punch? In case any of our listeners, you know, get in a fight or something.
AOS and POS system. That's what I've learned.
Oh, okay,
and
how about in a way that we can understand?
So a solid base and engaging your legs, and then it's your hips, torso, arm, and then your arm retracts, torso, and then back to your hips. So it's like a sling, right? It's a throwing motion, yeah.
Remember coming into the golf practice one early days and Pete saying, you know, there's a throw in the golf swing. And I had to think about that for a few days before I understood.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, there is actually kind of a throw in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ty, how does your swing feel now compared to, you know, a week ago when before your first lesson?
It still feels awkward to get where I need to be, but the more I swing every day, the easier it's becoming. So with my hands being lower, that was super awkward at first. Now that's much more comfortable. I'm still having a little bit of trouble with the declining of my spine angle, but I expect that to get better over time as well.
Cool.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. For me, it's been I feel much more in control, and I know what I'm doing more than before.
Definitely. The issue of control has improved for me as well. I feel like I'm more stable and have better control, even though it still feels awkward at points.
Yeah.
Shots are going straighter. So.
Yeah, so even for the good shots, it's one thing to hit a good shot, but it's another thing to actually know why you hit a good shot and what was working correctly for that to happen.
Exactly.
Other than you making some sort of abstract good swing. You know what I mean? I'm just like trying to think back to before I started this and like how, what I thought about golf and how to get better, right? It seems so dumb to try it any other way.
I think both of you have done a great job of really committing yourselves to over the last few weeks of what you're trying to change, that you have to be focused on the swing, and the swing is what's going to produce the result. You can't be too worried about the result of the ball and the ball flight and all of that if you're not focused on the swing, because the swing is what produces that.
Yeah.
And so now that you have a better understanding of what you need to work on and focus on and what you need to feel, the results will come faster, and that's pretty cool. Cool to see. I think a lot of students, big picture, get caught up in the result of the ball, and they get faster, and they start machine gunning through balls, and boom, 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 boom. It's like, well, hey, focus on what we're trying to do at the top of the backswing or whatever it is that they're trying to do, because then the results will come. But first, you have to focus on the stroke or the swing before you focus on the result of the golf ball.
Yeah, just understanding your swing, I think, is so important.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it a week ago, but now I do. I don't know, right? I don't know. And I think, again, like, if I didn't understand it, no one else, you know, very few people probably understand their swing and what they're doing or what they're even trying to do.
Trying to do.
You know. Mm-hmm. I wonder why that's so hard to communicate via Golf Digest or YouTube or podcasts.
I think it's just because everybody has such a different swing. And like I said last time, a lot of the things that I see as a coach or students that come right, I might see three students in a row that are fighting a slice, but I'm going to fix that slice three different ways. There's a thousand different ways to fix a slice, but you have to know which way is the best for you. And so that's the hard thing with Golf Digest and things like that. They give you one way and everybody tries it, but that one way might only be good for 1,000 people out of the 100,000 people that read it.
Yeah, that's tough. Okay. Well, do you have any, what's our homework? What do you want us to work on?
Great question. Nice. So very similar to last week, make sure that you can try and go out and swing and practice on the range at least twice. For where you guys are at, I think twice is plenty as long as you guys are disciplined in your practice. But I would really try and get out to the golf course. We don't have too much longer up here in Chicago with this nice weather. So try and get out and play or practice on the golf course. If you can go out in the evening or maybe in the early morning, whenever you have some time, and drop five or six balls in the middle of the fairway and hit shots into a green and practice on the course, I think that's really, really cool. And that's going to help you transfer these new swings into actual play. And then maybe down the road into competition too for
sure
for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I have a lot to work on and get comfortable with. Sounds like you do too.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Ty. So maybe this will be the last full swing one for a while.
Yeah. I think we need to look at the short game. We can't ignore that, right?
Well, I don't know. Everyone ignores it.
Everybody does, but we're not going to.
We're not going to. Okay. Yeah. So I'm sure you're looking forward to it. You like putting a lot.
I love it.
Wait, why?
Why?
Yeah, putting is boring.
It's an art. It's not boring to me.
All right. Well, I guess
hopefully I can share why it's not boring.
Yeah, maybe that will give us something to look forward to in the future.
Yeah.
So, all right. Jansen, thanks.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Jansen. Yeah.
Nice work.
Goodbye, everyone.
For now, that's what your main focus should be. Now, the next time I see you, we can get a little more in depth with it. But for now, that's what we need to focus on.